Today's episode is brought to you by Next Insurance and Framer.
This is Marketing Over Coffee with Christopher Penn and John Wall.
Good morning. Welcome to Marketing Over Coffee. I'm John Wall.
I'm Christopher Penn.
And you've been off for over a month, which is insane. I don't think that's happened ever, probably, over like the past 18 years. But you've been traveling all over the place. So the big one for me is London, because that was both you had time over there off, but it was also the workshop, which sold out and was huge. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has been crazy. Denver was a workshop. Then Cleveland was MakeCon, the marketing AI conference where Katie and I were both at. And then London was our first own event, the Generative AI for B2B Marketers workshop in London. It was a full day in near a place called Borough, which is probably like a 5-minute walk from Westminster Hall. So, you know, in the shadow of the Tower of London. It was a lot of fun. We covered a lot of the new versions of basics for prompt engineering because stuff has changed and our practices that we recommend have changed. We actually need to update some of our courseware because some of the practices have changed. And then we spent most of the day on the 7 major use case categories and custom examples and use cases for everyone to try. It's really interesting. One of the things I built before London is a workshop generator, like given the industry and stuff like that, it will generate all of the sample data for the workshop so that people get stuff that they can use safely if they ever worried about privacy, but also it's customized to the people who are attending the workshop. So, which was a huge time saver because that typically used to take me, you know, half a day, full day of just making stuff. Now it's all completely automated.
That's cool. Yeah. To take that chunk of work out of it. So, that was a runaway success. We will be queuing up for Q1. I know we haven't decided on the city list yet, but we know it will include Boston because that's no effort. I've had both Seattle and Chicago express interest. If you would like to have it come to your town, be sure to ping us because now is the time because we're going to start putting the calendar together. And so if you've got somewhere you want to go, and this is a great opportunity if you have, because we've had a in the past, we've talked with organizations about coming in and doing private training for them. And some of them were like, well, we don't have that much budget or we don't have that many people. Like if you've got a group of 3 or 4 that you want to go, this is the perfect time to do it because that could swing us coming to your town. And then it would be a lot more affordable than hiring a private session. You'd be able to just jump in on something that's going. So go ahead and again, be in touch with us if you want something to show up in your town, because we would love to get another stop on the road. Now, it's been, you know, insane. We've had all kinds of AI updates, but over the past few weeks, what are the big ones that you've been playing with and you think are the most relevant?
It's interesting. So Google's new workflow manager, Opal, has been available for a little while, but only in the US. As of last week, it opened to 160 countries globally. So now people can design their own AI workflows inside of Google's Opal. It is restricted to the Google ecosystem. So obviously YouTube, Google Drive, Google Workspace, et cetera. You're certainly not going to be connecting to anyone else's models or outside, you know, non-Google resources, but it's a good tool for what it is, especially if you want to do things like create content based on other things in the Google ecosystem, like stuff on YouTube. You're very, very capable. It's got deep research capabilities. And I think that's a nice non-technical resource. The big news is Moonshot AI, which is sponsored by or underwritten by Alibaba. It's a Chinese AI company, released Kimi K2 Instruct Reasoning, which is a mouthful. It's an open source model. It's an open weights model, meaning anyone can download and run it. It has beaten the pants off of every Western model on all the benchmarks. It is substantially smarter, substantially more capable. It is across the board a killer model. And like all of the Chinese models, they're just giving it away for free to anybody who wants it. You know, assuming you have the hardware to run it, of course, because it is a substantial investment. But it has caused quite the shockwave in the AI community because, you know, OpenAI is like, we need $1 trillion of taxpayer money to build out our national AI initiative. And China's like, here, have cutting edge stuff for free and don't spend $1 trillion. And this is going to continue. The other thing that came out this week, which was fascinating. It's a very technical paper, but demonstrating how new techniques in mathematics might cut compute usage of AI by 200x, 200x less compute. So again, you have all these companies, you know, NVIDIA and OpenAI and stuff, all saying, oh, we need trillions and trillions of dollars to build the AI future. Meanwhile, Chinese mathematicians are saying, you know what? You could just use better math.
Yeah, to do that, you know, obviously this is not a math podcast. That's definitely one place we don't want to go. But but was, you know, just kind of what's the thumbnail sketch? If you were, you know, describe like you were four, like what is the idea that has gotten them 200x?
It deals with the sequence and the order in which you do operations. So today's infrastructure kind of takes into account like everything. Like if you watch an AI model work behind the scenes, you can see that it's literally taking into account everything in the chat every time you prompt it, which has a very high compute load. And the new mathematics that these folks are proposing essentially compresses and remembers the math that you've already done. So you don't have to redo it every time. You're basically making adjustments as you go. That makes it much, much more efficient and still generates very high quality results. That came out. There was another paper that came out from the DeepSeek lab 2 weeks ago now, taking text and converting it into a low fidelity image that achieves like 10x compression of text while basically making the models 10x cheaper to run while preserving effectiveness, preserving accuracy, like 99% accuracy. So one of the things, and I realize this is probably bordering on racist, but in general, don't get into a math war with China.
Yeah, no, there's hard facts behind that, right? We've talked about how they have like more PhDs than we have graduates, you know, total.
Exactly.
So, you know, exactly. It's just like it is a pure horsepower thing.
Yeah. So the big thing message here that people should keep in mind is we are basically one math paper away from the entire AI industry as it currently stands in America and in other places that are spending gobs of money. We're one paper away from all of that being invalidated and basically getting the same benefits of AI that we get today for much, much cheaper. So if you are lagging behind in your adoption of AI, know that it's not going anywhere and it will probably get 100x cheaper over the next 2 to 5 years as better math comes out. And if you are a heavy investor in these companies, you really need to be keeping an eye on the academic papers globally, because again, you're one paper away from your investment being worth like Bitcoin.
Yeah, the froth is definitely thick. All right. Yeah, I want to kick around some of the things behind that, but we just have to take a second. We want to thank Next Insurance for their support of Marketing Over Coffee. You know how we're always talking about protecting your brand? Well, what about protecting your business? If you're a marketer, freelancer, or running a small agency, you already juggle a dozen things: clients, campaigns, deadlines, cash flow. But here's the thing: one small mishap, a client dispute, or a contract issue can set you back fast. That's where Next Insurance comes in. They're built for small businesses and they make it ridiculously easy to get covered. You can do it all online in minutes, no calls, no paperwork, no hassle. Your business can be covered today. With transparent pricing, flexible plans, and instant proof of insurance, Next helps you protect your work, your team, and your reputation so one mistake doesn't undo years of hustle. And here's the kicker: you can save up to 30% and get coverage for as little as $1 a day. Because protecting your business shouldn't be complicated, it should be smart. Head to nextinsurance.com/MOC to get your quote today and see how easy business insurance can be. That's nextinsurance.com/MOC. Get your free quote today. Yeah, it's funny, insurance and risk management has been a topic this month. And whether it's to protect yourself, which you've got to do, or the fact that we run into this all the time, we have vendors that just require you to have it. You can't do business without it. And so being able to just hop online, get coverage the same day and be ready to go, not have it slow down your deals, especially as we're rolling into Q4 here, is a fantastic thing. So check them out, and we thank them for their support of the show. Yeah, it is nuts. Well, I don't know. So my gut is this is kind of like what we saw with the web, where everything was just brute force. And then people got the idea of caching and setting up indexes and things that just made it more efficient rather than grinding it fresh with every single query, having a bunch of stuff stored or steering it in a direction where, you know, we know it's in this 10%, so you can ignore the other 90. And that's massive lift. Yeah, and it's definitely, you know, a lot of chatter about the stock market and how the U.S. economy is hinging on AI as the main driver for growth this year. So, I have no good news to give on that front. Is there, aside from, you know, watch your own portfolio? That's the only advice I can give.
I mean, the thing about investment and stuff is, and again, we should disclose, we are in no way financial professionals, right? Do not take financial advice from two yahoos on the internet
in their basements.
Please contact a qualified professional with knowledge of your specific situation. The age-old advice still holds true, which is diversify. Don't be overexposed in any one market and take a long view, because no matter how crazy or stupid things get wherever it is that you live, life has to go on, right? People still need to eat. They still need to have a place to live. The basics of life continue on. When you go back and read through history about like what life was like, you know, in the 1800s, in, you know, occupied Korea, in Nazi Germany, whatever, the life still had to go on for hundreds of millions of people. So the basics don't go anywhere. And what you do know, I mean, again, you don't need AI for this. What you do know is things like, you know, food and health and stuff. Unless you have a mass extinction event of humans, the needs in those spaces aren't going anywhere. So talk to your financial planner about like, okay, how do I go with what the mega trends are, which is people are living longer. People ain't getting healthier. Costs are going up on these things. So invest in logical places.
Yeah, that's sound advice. Yeah, healthcare. There's no shortage of healthcare action worldwide, and that's going to continue. All right. We had the Guru event. We had Jay Schwedelson on a couple weeks back, and his event dropped. And so there were two sides to that. One was there was a bunch of stuff on email. You know, it's definitely a mature industry, right? It was a lot of the same stuff we always see as far as testing and things to try in there. In your testing regime as far as subject lines or doing text. There was a very cool thing that Jay showed off, though, that they don't have the recordings live. They actually pulled those after a while. But he showed his inbox, and he has over a million messages, you know, in his inbox. So if you're one of these people that gets anxiety like I am when you see a number like that, it's insane. But then he revealed the idea is that that's plugged it right in. So he's writing prompts against that. And, you know, he's subscribed to every single email newsletter under the sun. And so he's able to ask prompts like, okay, what are the trends and subject lines this month across, you know, these sectors, and get reports back as far as like, okay, here was what's going on. So that was fascinating to watch. I really got a kick out of seeing that happen and how that worked. And then the other thing is he has cracked a code with this event. They had over 26,000 registrants. And I call this the virtual boondoggle. So it was, you know, back in the day, we used to have, when there was business travel was a thing, you know, you'd be signing up for these events in January and February in Arizona because you'd want to go to the warm weather. Or there was always, IBM was classic for, you know, suddenly in early winter, it's down in Disney World, you know, so like you can go to the event and you can sell it to your boss because it's a legit event. But of course, the family tags along and gets to go to the parks and do cool stuff. So that the boondoggle is always like kind of throwing something in there that's, there's legitimate business there, but there's a hook. Well, they're doing that virtually now. Like he had an interview with Nicole Kidman, like that, you know, like what does that have to do with email? And he admits nothing, but it's like, well, if you're at work and somebody's like, hey, you want to watch this interview with Nicole Kidman? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You know, sign up for the email event and you can get the Nicole Kidman interview for free. And then he had a bunch of celebrities showing up the whole 2-day event, you know, popping in every couple of hours. There was guys from NSYNC, and he had Flavor Flav there, and they made a run at a Guinness Book of World Record air guitar thing. So just this idea of doing the virtual boondoggle, you know, finding something cool that brings in crowds under the guise of business, it's definitely delivering for, you know, this is no 300-person webinar. Like they had the halls packed, and I was really amazed by the online service that they were using, because the fidelity of the sound was crazy. I've never had music playing background stuff with so much bass. So I don't know what the heck they were doing, but like I've never, with every other online meeting service, you know, everything's also compressed. It's just that you take for granted, it sounds marginally crappy and it's not there. But like when the music was on, like my office was shaking, which was nuts. So I, that just, you know, of course, as audio geeks, that catches the attention. But so that was interesting to me. And yeah, just congrats to him for throwing a huge event that, you know, really packed in the
people. Were there any new email marketing takeaways that you're like, huh, that's new or different?
You know, one of the sessions talking about, it was all, you know, subject line tweaks, like leading with an ellipsis with three periods or having all capitalized words in the middle. And then it was funny, some of the trends, you know, stop doing this. Like it's insane how many vendors are using stop doing this as a trend. But overall, no, you know, new huge tech stuff. I didn't go to any of the vendor sessions, so I didn't see any vendors that had anything that was changing the game. But yeah, overall, I didn't see anything that, you know, kind of breaks or changes the email thing. And a lot of it is segmented too, because like I've been having questions about deliverability. We've been having some weird issues with my account, but it just goes straight to a vendor. You know, like nobody is talking about it. It's like you just have to sign up and, you know, this vendor will come in and tell you what's going on. So yeah, I'll comb back through and see if there was any, you know, major technical things, but no, I didn't. The other one though, across the board, everybody talking about generative AI stuff that they have baked into the product. You know, hey, we can just build this series for you. We can build four variants to test. We can build things going on and handling incoming stuff too when people come in. Although this was a killer. Yeah, here's a killer tip. This is the one we'll keep out of the show notes for listeners only, is the idea of anytime you do a campaign, instead of using a form, try some campaigns where you have the prospect email you, because when they email you, that immediately whitelists them on their side. So now all your further communications, your deliverability is assured. You're not going through all this stuff of every, you know, worrying about it being tagged as commercial and getting caught, because if they do the first touch, that unlocks the inbox for you. So that was a big takeaway that I'm going to be putting to use as we go forward.
Interesting. Did they talk about the sort of the hybrid services? So one of the things that I've seen a lot of people do, and I've seen good success, you know, myself with, is using a platform like Substack that has other stuff attached to it. So it's not just an email platform, but it's also got a community aspect. It's got the notes, which is like a miniature social network. And all of that combined seems to deliver a more engaging experience for an email subscriber than just the email itself.
No, that was, you know, and like I said, I was only doing one track of the thing, but yeah, that definitely seems to be the wave of the future. There was nobody that I heard talk that said that they were just using a dedicated ESP, you know, like everybody's doing it as part of their marketing automation or other stuff. But that's an interesting point, especially, I don't know, it just does seem like some of these hosted blog / email platforms are taking over the world. It seems to be the way people are cranking out content today. You know, we work with a lot of clients about analytics and other site issues. And I just have to say, it's just horrible to see some places that are having to cough up tons of money as far as website and design tools. There's an easier way to do this. Framer has already built the fastest way to publish beautiful, production-ready websites. And it's now redefining how we design for the web. With the recent launch of Design Pages, a free Canvas-based design tool, Framer is more than a site builder. It's a true all-in-one design platform. From social assets to campaign visuals to vectors and icons, all the way to a live site, Framer is where ideas go live, start to finish. It's got everything you need to design totally free. You don't need to deal with Figma imports. You don't need to be hacking away at HTML yourself. It's just a faster, cleaner, and more efficient way to go. And there's a bunch of other stuff they've got going on, making your whole life easier and simpler. One-click localization, advanced analytics. The whole idea is developer-free by design. No tickets, no handoffs. So if you want to unify design, your content management system, and publishing on one canvas with no handoff, no hassle, ready to design, iterate, and publish all in one tool, start creating for free at framer.com/design and use code MOC for a free month of Framer Pro. That's framer.com/design and use the promo code MOC. Framer.com/design, promo code MOC. Rules and restrictions may apply. But check it out. Just a much simpler way to go live. Leave the painful legacy tools behind. And we thank Framer for their support of the show. Oh, audio stuff. I got a pair of Status new earbuds, the Pro X, which are triple driver, and they do deliver. I have to say, it is the best music I've ever heard on a Bluetooth earbud. Unfortunately, you know, the challenge with all that is I did have some weirdness connecting calls. It just seems to me like nobody can match the Apple's deadlock. You know, they've got the chip in there. And so when it comes to rock solid calls and doing everything, they're not going to be beat. But if you are a hardcore music person, they're definitely worth it. The case is super small, which is very cool. My Beats Fit Pro, for some reason, have this insane case, which is bigger than anything out there, which is totally annoying. And then the other one, I did get to field test a pair of AirPod 4 with ANC. You can get it without for $100, or it's $150 with ANC. And I don't know. It's not like the Pros where it's a sealed thing. It's still like the old earbuds where it just sits in there. And so to have noise reduction on there is a little bit odd. I wasn't that impressed with it, especially after you use the in-ear ones. But it was interesting to try them. And it is the same deal of like rock solid, easy connections. They managed to get rid of the button on the case too. It's just a touch capacitive thing, which is cool. Those are the ones that I've tried and run with in the last couple of weeks since I got some new stuff in the lab.
The one piece of gear that I picked up recently, just before the London trip, is Anker's iPhone and Apple Watch power banks. It's like 5,000 milliamps. It's not a ton, but it's got a built-in cable, which is, I always worry about these, but it's also got a regular port to both for charging and for power out. But the nice thing is the Apple Watch charger built right in, which is super nice because that's one less cable I have to lug around. But with the AirPods, all AirPods cases magnetically charge. So I don't have to carry, you know, extra stuff for that either. I can just put the AirPods case right on the Apple Watch charger on the power bank and it charges fine. So I was like living off this thing because it's small enough. It's about the size of like a really small deck of cards, like one, let's say it's about 1 inch thick, about 3 inches long, inch and a half wide. It's not light, but super handy on the road. Keep the phone and the watch charged, particularly since ever since iOS 26 came out and watchOS 26 came out, all Apple Watches have like 20% less battery life.
Oh, really? Well, and yeah, I've been thinking, yeah. I dodged the 26th grade in my phone, but how about, so have you taken it for the watch? Like, what is the watch doing?
Yeah, so I have basically it just consumes more power because it's got a fancier interface and it's got more frequent polling with your phone to, you know, keep it updated about data that you got going on because it networks with your phone and it also networks with your AirPods Pro if you've got them for things like step counts and fitness tracking because the AirPods Pro have sensors in them too. So all this stuff, yes, it's more accurate data, which we like, but at the expense of you're now charging your watch like midday to get you through the rest of the day.
Yeah, more transmission, more receiving. That's part of the thing. And I don't know, they've made this latest round of the watch thinner too. I'm totally going the ultra route of like, I'm fine with the watch being twice as thick if you could put a huge battery in there that's going to totally run. But we're not in charge of that. And I imagine the faces all still stink too. Any new faces that are any good?
I mean, it's, I just use the standard world clock one because that's the one I need the most.
Yep, that's on there and works. Okay. I've got the holiday gift guide coming together. I'll have that published by the time this drops and is out there. There's a bunch of stuff on there, but two that I wanted to give a shout out. One is Aura Frames, the digital picture frame. These guys have finally cracked the code as far as like grandma can use this and get her pictures on there and it works. So the, huge fan of that and got that going. And the other one, I want to give a plug for Leatherman. We've had them on the show and talked about their product process. But if you're, you know, into everyday carry or need a pocket tool to get things done, Leatherman is a great option. Check it out. They've got a whole new bunch of stuff they've run, but I'm still using my Juice C2, which I've had for like over 15 years, which fits perfectly in the Levi's pocket watch pocket, which nobody needs because nobody has a pocket watch anymore. So. How about anything on your shopping list? Are you looking at any stuff for the holidays or things that you want to throw on there?
I have most of the gear. Like I said, the Anker charging stuff is always good. You really can't go wrong with more powers or more batteries of some kind. They did just release the Solix C1000 version 2, which is a massive battery. Like if you want to keep your fridge running for 48 hours, this is the thing. It is the size of a milk crate, right? And it weighs like 80 pounds. But you can charge that sucker and then keep things running through all sorts of crazy conditions. I sent a smaller version of that one to a friend in Kyiv because of all the power outages and stuff a couple of years ago. And they've been like, yeah, this is fantastic. I can have lights and keep working on, you know, at my job while, you know, whatever's getting bombed. So you really can't get more of a an endorsement than that. Like, works in a war zone.
Yeah, right. Combat ready. No, that's as high a endorsement as you can get across the board. I had to give a shout out to, I don't know, randomly, I totally missed the boat on the Expendables. I was going back through the old movie pile and I watched this. You know, it's like basically if you've watched any of those 80s action movies, they got everybody out of mothballs to do some of these flicks. And it's the first one was good. I don't know. I've heard they go downhill, so I will report back. But I would, you know, it was like if you've got 2 hours and you don't want to use your brain, this is a fantastic way to get into it. The road tour does not stop, though. But how about you? Are you cleared for the holidays or anything else before year end?
So I got two more events, Marketing Profs B2B Forum and then the Massachusetts Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators. And then it's Thanksgiving. And then I think it's just the winter holidays and New Year's. But you know, things change. And I know we're already getting booking inquiries into April of 2026. So it is already starting to heat up. So yeah, if you do want us to be at your event, now would be the time to let us know because the calendar is going to get real full real fast.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, best odds if you get in early. And like we said, for the workshop too, be sure to throw us dates. You can sign up for the text line at 617-812-5494. Or sign up over at marketingovercoffee.com. Also in Slack, Analytics for Marketers, we're always talking about what's going on there. And you can get involved in the Friday fights over what's the best fast food or whatever ridiculous argument gets started over there. Halloween candy was just on the list and went through a rough run, but you can check that out over there. But otherwise, that's going to do it for this week. So until next week, enjoy the coffee.
Enjoy the coffee.
You've been listening to Marketing Over Coffee. Christopher Penn blogs at ChristopherSPenn.com. Read more from John J. Wall at JW5150.com. The Marketing Over Coffee theme song is called Mellow G by Funk Masters, and you can find it at Musical.ly from Mevio or follow the link in our show notes.